Item 105.
Approve findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize the use of an alternative contracting method of construction manager, general contractor, in connection with the Park Lane Park construction project for an estimated amount of $8,500,000.
Colleagues, Park Lane Park is one of the easternmost parks in Portland, and at 25 acres is the largest open space in the Centennial neighborhood. The park serves nearly 2,500 families in a diverse community that's historically been underserved by parks, and this has been a long time in the making. Multnomah County donated the original 5 acres back in 1994, and the city then purchased an adjacent 19.5-acre parcel back in 2001. Commissioner Fish completed the master plan in 2009, and Commissioner Fritz allocated additional systems development charges for development in 2016 and 2018 during her tenure as Parks Commissioner. And we've heard her talk eloquently about the importance of this particular park in East Portland. And at long last, we're getting ready to break ground on this important public asset. Today, we'll consider an alternative to what is considered our usual contracting process. Under the construction manager general contractor method, we will be able to allow for better collaboration with the construction team and facilitate the design and construction of the diverse array of amenities that this park is slated to offer. Before I turn this over to the procurement folks, a word on funding. New parks can be built with fees developers pay on new construction called system development charges. But system development charges, often called SDCs, cannot be used for ongoing operations and maintenance needs. The parks team is estimated that the completed park will cost about $470,000 per year in operations and maintenance beginning in the year 2022. Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish both committed to being transparent about the ongoing needs of new park assets, and I'll maintain that same clarity during my tenure as Parks Commissioner. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lester Spittler from Procurement, and Britta Herwig also is here from the Parks Bureau. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council. My name is Lester Spittler. I'm the Chief Procurement Officer. The legislation before you today is an authorizing ordinance to exempt the Park Lane project from the competitive low bid procurement method and allow the city to issue a request for proposals for a construction manager slash general contractor or CMGC. City Council, acting as a local contract review board, has the authority to exempt projects for the city from the low bid approach. The city issued a RFP this past summer to hire a design team for the project, and the contract to Macy Walker was authorized by council in September 2019. State statute and city code require the city to address findings when we are proposing to exempt a project from the low bid approach. We are required to post those draft findings online for 14 days prior to council approval for public comment. For this exemption, we did not receive any public comment. The following are some of the more prominent reasons to conduct the RFP versus a low bid for this project. Through RFP, the city is able to select a contractor through a best value approach with the experience and qualifications necessary to coordinate and develop a 25-acre park and with demonstrated expertise participating in a collaborative CMGC design process. The second reason, the contractors selected will have the opportunity to provide input during the design process, including on the construction packaging and sequencing to ensure equity in service delivery and to avoid high future maintenance costs. This also reduces the amount of change orders throughout the life of the construction project because the contractor had an opportunity to participate in design. Additionally, the CMGC process allows input into the development and construction of a park which reflects community pride and is safe, clean, and accessible for all ages, cultures, and abilities. Because of the collaborative nature of the CMGC process, there is continuous value engineering to ensure cost containment and best value accrued for the community. And lastly, the CMGC process provides greater opportunities for co-bid certified subcontractors to work on the project because of the pre-construction process where the contractor is working with the design team to finalize the design and at the same time identifying packages of work to solicit subcontractors for. If there are any questions, we're happy to answer them. Britta has a little bit of information about the park itself. If there are no questions, we recommend that you approve the findings, attach to the ordinance, and authorize the issuance of an RFP for a CMGC delivery approach for the parkland project.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty has a question.
Thank you, Mayor. Not doing a low bid process allows more flexibility with the prime contractor. What's the guarantee that the prime contractor is going to meet the goals of ensuring that they are subcontracting with minority and women-owned firms? And what is the goal for this $8 million project?
Sure. The process itself for a CMGC approach is really a two-phased approach. The first is a pre-construction where the contractor is helping to inform the design. During that period, they're identifying scopes of work that they cannot self-perform and that they'll subcontract. Throughout that period, they're able to work closely with park staff, with procurement staff, to make sure that for any trade that they're not able to self-perform, they are doing active outreach to COVID-certified firms, engaging those firms. And through a CMGC process, they also have the ability to do a best value selection for subcontractors as well. That is different from a low bid approach where they're also seeking the lowest bid. So the city has the ability to encourage and even force them to do a best value approach for those subcontractors, which would give more of an opportunity for the COVID firms to perform on the project. The second phase is when the design is 100%, we have a guaranteed maximum price and the construction starts. That's when the contractor is going to have to live up to the promises they made during the first phase of who they were going to outreach and engage to as far as certified subcontractors. The goals that would apply to the project are the city's standard goals of 22% utilization for certified subcontractors.
So is there a difference between how this process works and how the normal city process, which is aspirational, works?
This is aspirational as well, but we have a greater opportunity to achieve that aspirational goal because of the collaborative nature. Whereas with a low bid, it's sort of there's inherent conflicts with us asking for an aspirational goal. Those contractors are forced to accept the lowest bid, which doesn't give them the opportunity to sort of understand the value proposition and align their goals with our goals for the project.
So if we approve this, and I'm going to be clear, I'll speak for myself. If I approve this, I'm going to actually expect us to reach the goals, not to aspire to the goals, but to actually reach or exceed the goals, because this is we're doing a process that's supposed to work better than just going after the low bid. And I certainly want my community to benefit from this change in how we're going to do procurement. If I don't see actually real results from this rather than aspirations, I'm never going to support this again. So I just want to put that on the record. The last thing I want to say about this, it's going to cost $400,000 a year. Did I hear that correctly for maintenance of an upkeep of this park after it's built?
Yes, so this is a very early estimate. We don't have a design currently. We're just starting the design process. And based on the master plan that was completed 10 years ago, there are a number of program elements that we are expecting to include in this design. There will be a skate park, ball fields, shelters, playgrounds, spray grounds, and those all have associated operations and maintenance costs. And because it's a 25-acre, fairly large park, we anticipate that the costs will be high, or will be in the $400,000 range for O&M. But again, like we don't have the design, so we don't know exactly what we're designing, and we'll clarify as we know more what the actual costs will be. It'll be easier at a later point.
Well, I think the City Council needs to know if we are committing ourselves to a financial scheme that we cannot support as early as we possibly can. That's daunting to say that it could be around $400,000, but we don't know. It could be more. Yes, great area. It's right. It depends on what side of the street, whether it's Portland or Gresham. And so it makes me wonder whether or not this is a good two-government partnership. Because, in that whole area, it just depends on what side of the street, and there's no rhyme or reason. It's based on sewer. So I, let me just say that I'm going to mark down, I'm concerned, if you're telling us today the operating cost will be $400,000 a year, that's a huge concern. We already know that parks every year we're cutting stuff, and don't think this year will be any different. So that's where I am.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz has a comment.
Two comments now, thank you. First, Commissioner Hardesty, I encourage you to get a briefing from the park staff so that they can give you the information about the utilization of minority and women firms and workers in the other projects that we've done with this alternative contracting method. I was very, very happy with the results. Second, with regards to operations and maintenance, we do have a binding city policy that new facilities of any kind do get new operations and maintenance, and that gets built into the budget. And so I really, the choice is, I appreciate the mayor being very transparent, as Commissioner Fisher and I were also, so that we knew up front what an estimate is. As staff mentioned, we can't be completely accurate until the design is finished. And really the choice is, do we build this park or not? And I was very happy to dedicate another $20 million in system development charges for a park that the community in Centennial has been prioritizing. In fact, the entire East Portland Coalition prioritized this park as their number one choice, even before Gateway Discovery and the Whip. We didn't have the money to do Park Lane at the beginning of my tenure as Parks Commissioner, but by the end of it, we did have sufficient construction impact fees to be able to allocate this money. But so really now is the time for us to decide, are we going to finish building this park in the Centennial neighborhood, or are we not going to do it at all?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Do we have public testimony on this item, Carla?
No one signed up.
Very good. All right. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you.